This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 125 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, October 25th, 2013. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, flying solo again this week. Let's dive into the headlines. The biggest news of the week, of course, is that WordPress 3.7 has been released. In fact, it was released Thursday afternoon, and this one is called Basie, in honor of Count Basie, not to be confused with Count Dracula. You know, it's a funny pun. I couldn't pass that up. Anyways, it's now available for download. If you you should see an upgrade notice in the back end of WordPress when you hear this. The biggest change to this version of WordPress is it enables automatic updates. Not out of the box, it enables automatic updates for minor insecurity releases. However, as we'll talk about in a little bit, it also gives you fine-grained controls over many different ways or different things that you can update automatically. So the biggest thing in WordPress 3.7 is, of course, automatic updates, and then it has a stronger password recommendation. And we've already covered this in an earlier episode where there's a new password strength meter added to WordPress 3.7. So now that if you are using certain passwords, in fact, it's very interesting that if you use a password that was considered strong previous to 3.7, the new password strength meter may tell you that that password's weak. Kind of an interesting experiment that you should try is whatever password you're using for your administrator account on WordPress on 3.6, you should put into the password meter on 3.7 and just kind of see whether it determines if it's medium, weak, or strong. Your strong password, or at least the password you thought was strong, may be considered weak. I'd be kind of curious to hear about that experiment, what the results are on the WPTamer.com website. And one of the last things that this release offers is better global support. So what that means is localized versions of WordPress will receive faster and more complete translations. 3.7 adds support for automatically installing the right language files and keeping them up to date, which is a boon for the many millions who use WordPress in a language other than English. There's a lot of other stuff in here. There's about 400 closed tickets on track, which means a lot of bug fixes. This release was led by Andrew Nason, backed up by Deanne Hals and John Cave. In case you were wondering, 3.6 was released back in August, and here we are in October with 3.7, and 3.8 is scheduled for release near the end of December. So boom, boom, boom. And when I think about releases and three major versions within an amount of time, I remember all the conversations we've had over the years talking about WordPress and how the updates are too close together and it's hard for people to keep up. And now with automatic updates, it shouldn't be that much of a problem anymore, unless, of course, you disable it, which brings me to the next article. And this was published today by Andrew Nason on the Make WordPress Core blog. And he has published the definitive guide to disabling auto updates in WordPress 3.7. And you may be wondering to yourself, why would anybody want to do that? It doesn't make sense. Well, in fact, there are a couple of reasons why you would want to disable updates in 3.7, as Andrew lists on the post on the website. He says you can, if you manage your site using version control, you implement your own deployment mechanism, which is potentially to multiple servers, or if you are a managed WordPress host and feel confident in pushing timely updates yourself. And as we illustrated earlier this week, WP Engine will not be using the automatic updates in WordPress. Pagely will also be doing the same. I imagine a lot of other managed WordPress hosts will also be doing the same because they've already have their system in place to manage automatic updates with WordPress. In fact, they have systems in place that test the new versions of WordPress against a number of plugins and their infrastructure on their site, and if everything's okay, then they end up pushing those updates to their clients. And since that's been working good for them so far, I don't see why they would use the automatic updates in WordPress 3.7. However, for everybody that is using a shared web hosting account, you owe it to yourself to enable automatic updates on WordPress 3.7, at the very least, for the default setup of security and minor releases, because as somebody said, I think it was on Twitter, it makes your website safer for both you and for everybody else visiting it. So it's a pretty big responsibility. And one other thing about the automatic update system that Andrew Nasid had pointed out that I think is really cool, because we've had discussions about this in the past about WordPress potentially having a legacy branch where you could stay on an older version of WordPress but still maintain security updates. And this, it's been experimented with over the past few years, but we've never seen anything sort of official. Well, the interesting thing about how automatic updates works, and I'll quote this from Andrew Nason's post, he says, automatic updates also support older branches. So if the current version is 3.8.1 and we release a new 3.8.2 security release, we now have the option to release a 3.7.2 package with those fixes so that 3.7 and 3.7.1 installs can automatically update to a secure version. Now, you'll still be told to update to 3.8.2, of course, and the automatic updates have definitely changed how they approach the maintenance releases and security fixes. So they say that they'd love the opportunity to keep lagging installs secure, but he also expects more frequent maintenance releases for the current branch of WordPress since update fatigue is much less of an issue now. So thanks to automatic updates, they're able to have that legacy branch of WordPress, and when they're releasing updates and security updates, they're able to push those to the people who are in older versions but have automatic security updates installed. And it will keep them on that minor and security release branch of WordPress, because by default it does not upgrade to a major version. So it would be 3.7.2, and if the current version is 3.8.3, then you would probably upgrade to 3.7.3, so on and so forth. So that's actually very cool, and allows them to maintain secure WordPress versions even before, way back behind, the current version of WordPress that's already out. So highly recommend visiting this post. Of course, there's all kinds of different ways that you can add and remove, and kind of it's fine-grained controls via filters and hooks that you can control the automatic updates on WordPress. And I've linked to both of these announcement posts on the WPTavern.com show notes. So with that said, I'm going to introduce our first guest this afternoon, and his name is Alex Denning. And he has been running the website WPShout.com for about 4 years now. And he recently announced that he would be stepping down away from the website as he has other obligations. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to bring him on the show before he disappears over the blue yonder and just talk about his previous 4 years of experience writing about WordPress on WPShout.com. And Alex, how you doing? And thank you for joining me on the show today.
Hey, I'm doing good, thanks.
So tell us a little about who Alex Denning is and where you're from, because you have a little bit of an accent, I can tell.
Sure. So I'm originally from a little town called London in England, but I have recently moved. I'm at university now in a lovely town called Warwick.
Okay.
Which is kind of in the middle of England, if you have a map.
Right. So we were talking about this before the show. You're actually 5 hours ahead of me.
Yeah, it's 8:15 here, so a little bit ahead. Yeah, so the bio I use on Twitter to describe myself is social marketer, student, and blogger, which kind of encompasses my main interests, I guess. I guess it all kind of started back with WP Shout. It's like 4.5 years ago now, I want to say. And through that I kind of learned my way how to do blogging, how to do WordPress, kind of hacked my way into working out how to do stuff, which has opened like new opportunities and new interests. So I've done stuff like last year, I had a year out between school and coming to university, or what you'd call college in the States. And I was working at the casual games juggernaut, miniclip.com, in their community team. So I was doing social media marketing and blogging and all that good stuff there.
So you actually started WPShout.com around your 16th birthday, according to the bio on your website.
Yes.
How did that how did that come about, the idea of launching a site dedicated to WordPress? I mean, did you have a lot of experience beforehand? I mean, it almost sounds like you grew up with WordPress.
Yeah, to some extent. I'd been running this games review website, video games review website, with some friends, and it was running on WordPress. And I wanted to make it do stuff, and the only way to find out how to make it do stuff was to was to learn and to Google it until you found sites or whatever that would tell you how to do it. And back in the day, there weren't many of those sites around. I remember one glorious evening, I found WP Hacks, or it was hackwordpress.com.
Yeah, I know that site
was back then. Yeah, and I found this goldmine information, and I thought it was amazing that people were sharing how to do all this cool stuff. So I ended up writing a couple of bits there, because I figured, like, I could do this, I can write stuff, I know a little bit. I kind of learned as I was doing it. And I spent about, I guess, 9 months or so writing on and off the WP Hacks, or Hack WordPress as it was. And after a while, I figured I had to get my own site running, which is where WP Shout comes in. The site was originally called gnometech.com, but I think it was took about 3 months for me to realize that you need the WP prefix.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is kind of history.
Did you end up, while writing for WPHacks.com, did you end up getting a following, or was there anybody there saying, hey, you know, maybe you should, you know, if you started your own WordPress-centric website, I'd follow you over there? Did you get any inclination that people wanted you to do that, or is it just something you did on your own?
To some extent. I mean, I encourage people to follow me on Twitter and such like, and there was clearly space for more knowledge, just because the number of WordPress-related blogs has increased exponentially over the last couple of years. But back then, there weren't really very many. There was definitely a room for knowledge, and quality knowledge is something that you can't really go too far wrong with. So it was on that basis that I set up the site, basically.
The site mostly contains news articles, tutorials, things of that nature. Over the past 4 years, is there any particular article or any notable events or articles that you publish that kind of stand out to you?
Definitely things like the WordPress hosting review, which
yes, you're known for that, actually, the WordPress hosting review.
Yeah, it was something I first ran back in 2011, I think it was, so 2 years ago now, and it was I'd had endless trouble with my hosts, and you know, a lot of people who had, and I figured there's got to be a better way of finding out what makes a decent host. So I figured, why not crowdsource the information? If I can get the quantity of reviews, then I can kind of validate this data and get some actual meaningful information. And we updated it this year, and published the results with the last proper article I published on WP Shout about a month or so back. It took about 2 weeks to put together all the data. But that kind of stuff, the really quality, timeless resources, that stands out to me as something I'm really proud of with the site.
Yeah, my favorite thing about the web hosting reviews that you did was the candid comments, the candid commentary that people would lay in to the reviews about their specific hosts. And there would be no holds barred. They would actually give you their complaints or their joys. I don't think, even in the 2013 version, I don't think you actually came out and quoted or verbatim published the comments that people were writing, but you did a good job of summarizing them.
I quoted a lot where it's possible. I think for the hosts that have an in-depth review, I've generally got one or two quotes from customers, but it's entirely anonymized, and to some extent, I didn't want to publish anything that people would be able to recognize a writing style.
Right.
Just because the whole, you kind of lose, if you lose the anonymity of it, then people are perhaps going to be less keen to bear all with their hosts in future.
So actually getting
that balance is important, yeah.
actually getting to hear from all these different customers of all these different web hosts and getting to see that kind of data, is there anything that kind of shocked you in terms of you've already had the opinion that maybe a certain web host was excellent because of all the things you've heard from them, but then you do this host review and you're hearing from customers that say, no, this host sucks. Is there anything that you've seen in the past 3 years that you've done this hosting review that just kind of shocks you about specific web hosting companies?
Oh, definitely. The ones with the big affiliate programs are the ones you hear about most.
Right.
But
yeah, go figure.
Very well, in some cases, good hosts have good affiliate programs. But there were a number of cases where hosts that you generally see as recommended were showing up in the hosting review as bad options, basically. I think it was more back in 2011, the first one. The results were more polarized. You kind of got the idea both people have either realized that they don't want to use bad hosts, rightly so, or hosts have just kind of upped their game a bit. But this, the latest one, it wasn't, you didn't get quite the same level of this host is really bad. So say like GoDaddy, they had, it's probably about 20 reviews the first time around. This time there are 3. The first time round, the consensus was they were a bad choice. This time round, the consensus was still they're a bad choice. But the data seems to suggest people are moving away from them, which is great because, you know, you don't want to have your site with a bad host.
This year's review, it shows a trend that we've all seen now for the past at least 2 years, is instead of going through hosts like Bluehost, HostGator, some of these established shared hosting companies, you now have data from people that are now starting to use all these different managed WordPress hosting companies like WP Engine, Pagely, or some of the other hosts out there.
Yeah, that was the massive change this time around. WP Engine had no reviews the first time we ran the review. And this time around, they had 63, which is 3 times
wow.
as many as any other host that we've had in any review. Synthesis and Flywheel and hosts like that and Pagely, they are clearly there's a lot of demand there because people are using them in huge numbers. And the good news is they tend to do a good job as well. Something I picked up on in the review was it was tough to pick between WP Engine and Synthesis because people who use both of them generally said this is a great host. So it's good to see that they do a good job, and to some extent I'm sure the competition kind of doesn't leave them an option but to do a good job.
Right. So 4 years of running WP Shout, and you have all this different content. What sort of community connections have you made? What sort of positive reactions have you had? I mean, what have you gotten out of running this WordPress website for 4 years?
So, I mean, directly?
Directly and indirectly.
Directly and indirectly. It's kind of opened... The site has opened a huge number of doors for me, which has been amazing. I mentioned at the start, I spent last year working at Miniclip. I got that job because Ben Gilbanks, or Binary Moon, as you may know him.
Yep, know him well.
Is a director of web development there. He was my boss, basically. So he got me a job. I currently work at with WP Zoom and the guys there, doing some community management type stuff. I got that through here. I've done countless bits of writing. I've written for Smashing Magazine, which is ridiculous for someone little old me. it's just a huge door opener, and kind of being able to show to the WordPress community and say, hey, I did this, and people are like, oh yeah, I know this site, thanks. It's great. It opens just every door that there is, really. People are really appreciative of that you put the time in and produce the content and do all that good stuff. And whilst like the advertising revenue doesn't really make it directly worth it, indirectly, it's both hugely rewarding and a great networking tool, basically.
And I have to imagine that when you started WP Shout and you started writing all of these articles, that you didn't anticipate seeing these types of doors of opportunity open for you.
Absolutely not. I had no idea. For me, it was just kind of, at the start, it was just kind of this fun thing that was going to kill a bit of time. Perhaps might work out to be a good little project to have. But yeah, I had no idea it was going to turn into this great, I guess, resume type thing, which is going to like get me my first job and stuff like that.
So you have this ebook on your WPShout.com website. It's free as in if I give you my email address, it's free. Yes. Tell us a little bit about what's in the ebook, and do you have plans on leaving it there for the new owners to take care of, or what kind of interest have you seen out of for this ebook? Because I know it's like a collection of tutorials.
Yeah. So the ebook is called the WordPress Blogging Guide. I put together, I think last summer in 2012. Basically, I'd been publishing content on the site for about perhaps 12 months before that, all around the same theme of using WordPress as this as a great blogging and kind of content marketing, although that wasn't really a phrase back then, a kind of content marketing device. And so once I kind of ticked off all the main areas, I stuck it all together in an ebook and used it as a part incentivizer to join the email newsletter, basically.
And how many emails do you have?
A lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the people like free stuff. You sign up to the email and you get the ebook immediately. And if you like the emails, you stick around and get more WP Shout related stuff. And as a promotional tool for that, and just as an independent ebook by itself, it works great.
Classic marketing.
Yeah, it's. People say like you need an incentivizer to get people to join your email list. Well, this works. This is the news, everybody.
So with WP Shout, you know, these 4 years, you've been able to see doors open up for you. But What are some of the negative reactions? What are some of the things you've come across that you don't like? Is there anything in the WordPress community that just points out to you as just being bad, like it's not a good thing for the WordPress community? Has anything like that? Have you had any really negative experiences in the WordPress community so far?
There's certainly been some negative reaction to things, to mistakes I've made, and kind of rightly so. But in terms of bad things, I guess it's odd. I'm kind of hesitant to label the communities doing bad things collectively.
Right.
I would say, back when, perhaps 2009-10, one of the most visited pages of the site was this was a tutorial series on creating a theme options page.
Oh, so you're the one responsible for all these huge theme option pages we're seeing out there.
At the time, I didn't realize it, but in retrospect, perhaps I was. But I mean, it was like the top search result on Google. And people would copy and paste it, and I'd see it everywhere. Perhaps to some extent, that wasn't the most beneficial thing. But again, that's kind of my fault. Not that I realized it at the time. but people who, when you're publishing these kinds of tutorials, and people are going to read them, and there's a lot of responsibility for people publishing this kind of stuff that it is good, it is accurate, and it works. So that would be my word of advice, warning. Make sure that your stuff is responsible if you're publishing on a, even if it's a small site, if people are going to find it and use it in their projects, commercially or otherwise, it's important that what you're publishing is good.
So about 2 weeks ago, you announced that after 4 years, you will be stepping away from WPShout.com. In fact, it now is going to be under new ownership. And
yes,
of course, the guys are from Press Up Inc. Their names are Fred and David. I actually have them joining us here on the show, so it's like a family get-together, so to speak. So let's start with Fred. We have Fred and David here who are part of Press Up, Inc., and let's start with you, Fred. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
Hi there. My name's Fred Meyer. I'm from Fort Collins, Colorado, and I now live in Boston. And with David, I run Press Up, a WordPress consultancy and web development consultancy in general. So that's me.
And I'm David. As Fred said, I'm from Fort Collins, which is a little town in Colorado about an hour north of Denver. And, you know, Fred and I have been partners in business for almost 2 years now. We started with a little site called Medivate, which is about helping people to meditate. And we didn't really figure out a way to make that business work in the short term, but we figured out that we actually have a lot of technical skills that people find valuable. So we started up a little agency to help people put themselves online and that kind of stuff.
So the failure of one business and opportunity has led to success in the opportunity for another agency, is what you're saying.
Well, we haven't given up on the first business.
Okay.
So it's still going. It's at Medivate.com, and it just doesn't have a revenue model. The site works great, just no revenue model.
Oh,
so
okay.
We needed, I mean, to paraphrase what you said, we needed something that would bring in money. And as David said, we realized, you know what, we're doing web development all day. Like, we can do this. And that was about a year ago, and it turns out to be true.
So how did you guys, both David and Fred, how did you come about finding WPShout.com and getting in touch with Alex to make this deal?
Sure. It was actually, Jeff, you retweeted Alex saying that he was interested in selling, and I'd been aware of the site a little bit, and
Wait, are you telling me that people actually read my tweets?
I do. I don't know if I'm people, though. but yeah, so I saw that, and I just reached out to Alex, and we started a conversation about you know, possibly taking over and what that would look like. And, you know, it basically seemed like a good fit for both of us, so we went ahead with it.
Was this we don't need to go into the details of the deal, but was it a cash offer? Did you buy out WP Shout, or was it just a simple type of acquisition or a trade-off?
The short answer is it was a buyout, essentially.
Okay. So with Press Up, Inc., it's a consultancy website. What are you and Fred's plans for continuing on WPShout.com?
Sure. I mean, I think we really value the resource that Alex has done, especially, you know, those hosting reviews are really essential. It happens a lot that people kind of think they know what hosting options there are, and actually, you know, it turns out that a lot of the ones you see recommended, as you guys were talking about, aren't great. And so resources like that and some of the tutorials and really even some of the opinion pieces that Alex has written have been really great. And so we just, you know, we saw it as a great place where we could kind of separate out our WordPress content from other things we might be doing in Press Up and what we want to write about there, and really get a step into the community and be more visible and, you know, give us a voice out there in the community saying, you know, the things we think need to be said, kind of thing.
Now, I was reading the ending Better Beginning post on WPShout.com where both David and Fred kind of gave themselves a little bio and what they enjoy writing about. And it looks like what David writes about is stuff that would fit in naturally with the existing content of WPShout. So, Fred, I think I said David, but Fred. Fred is the guy. He says a focus on tips for front-end development, marketing, and content creation and interacting with customers, which sounds like a natural fit for what WP Shout was already doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the sort of division of labor between me and David is, you know, we both do both to an extent, but David is kind of a really strong sort of back-end technical guy, and I'm sort of more on the front-end and sort of the customer relations side of, you know, working as a developer or a web consultant. So just for example, like the piece I wrote last week was just a hack for developers mostly, or people who are sort of shopping for WordPress themes to like find live versions of the theme they're looking at.
So actually, that's something It's interesting you write about that, because that's one of the first things I try and do is just go to Google and type in like the name of the theme I was interested in buying and trying to find live examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just, you know, found a way that is pretty consistent for finding, you know, a theme that has more than a few sales. And so I wrote about that. So it's that particular thing was more kind of like a, almost like a business tip for maybe a developer who has a client who wants to see live versions of a theme and see what the theme can do. So, yeah.
So for those who are not or have not had the opportunity to read the post, and I'll link to it in the show notes, but how do you find live examples of a particular theme in use?
Well,
it's actually very simple from what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's right. It's you just do a Google search for a little snippet that is basically, and this has to be in quotes, it's like WP content and then themes and then the theme name. And what you're doing is you're picking up PHP errors that may have gotten printed out onto the page content itself and indexed by Google. So it's this kind of funny roundabout way that stuff actually makes it into Google search results. But and let me just add a second method that somebody clued me into that is massively obvious, but also works. You can look in the like comments section of the theme itself, like on ThemeForest, and usually somebody in the process of going like, oh, my nav menu doesn't work, will like link to their own site. So if you're looking for if the way I just told you doesn't work, just look on ThemeForest and scroll down in the comments and see if anybody left a URL.
That's a very neat tip. Remind me after the show to write about that and link it up.
Absolutely, sure.
Because that's actually that's very cool. It's a very simple, cool way of doing that.
Yeah, and it was fun to write about just because it is such a funny, kind of quirky, it's such a strange way to do such an obvious thing.
So it's articles and quirky things like that. That's kind of what we can expect to see in the future on WPShout.com for both you and David, right?
In general. I mean, David's post this week was about something that we're calling theme creep. I don't know if we've moved to
very hot topic in the WordPress community is, you know, theme creep.
Yeah, and, you know, he's actually presenting about it tomorrow, and so this is kind of a, I think in some sense, sort of a written preview of that presentation. But so it's really just, we've actually been advised to get really in-depth on tutorials, so we're going to try to do that. And I think we're going to write about things that are important to us in the WordPress community. And, you know, anytime something's been really helpful for us, I think, as business people, as freelancers, you know, that is a systematic thing like the, you know, like finding a live site, I mean, I think we'll try to publish that kind of content as well.
And I think, I know, I'm pretty sure that Alex was the one that advised you on the writing tutorials. And something that I thought was really cool that I think is very important, especially in something like the WordPress community, when another company or a particular individual buys out a website, is to have the original author of that site stick around and help ease into the transition, have them around for the transitional period until you can make that smooth transition from one to another. Because, you know, this is, you know, WPShout.com, Alex Denning has run it for 4 years, so people automatically think, well, that's Alex's site, that's all Alex on there. So it'll be interesting to see if you guys can maintain that level of readership and interaction that maybe was specifically tied to Alex.
Yeah, that's. By the way, I just want to jump in. It wasn't Alex who told us to write in-depth tutorials. It was Brian Krogsgaard who gave us some really helpful.
Damn that Krogsgaard.
But he gave us really a lot of helpful information and wonderful thoughts. We had the chance to interview him a few days back, and that was one of the major things he said. In terms of, the sort of transfer between Alex and us, Alex has been really wonderful with sort of managing the transfer and making there be a knowledge transfer piece of that, not just like the actual, you know, passwords and properties that we're trying to take on. And so that has gone really fantastic. And yeah, I think a big thing that we want to make sure is that, you know, we're able to keep people interested, you know, beyond sort of the kind of interesting sort of brand that Alex represents. So I definitely think that's a priority. And Alex has been really generous, you know, sharing what it is that he thinks has made the site a success so far.
So Fred and David, is the primary income, primary source of income that you two have, is that from Pressed Up Ink?
Short answer is yes. David, why don't you talk for a while?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the way we're paying our bills right now is that, you know, we have a client, you know, we have clients come to us and, you know, we really pride ourselves on being attentive and thorough to what they actually need. You know, sometimes you'll get someone coming to you and they'll be like, well, I just need this site put together. And, you know, when you stop and ask them what they need and why they're thinking through the things they do, you can find ways to, you know, either save them a lot of money or simplify the thing they think they need such that it fits better into their business. And, you know, we've been growing that for about 6 months now, and it's really starting to pan out. We're getting, you know, lots of referrals coming through of, like, former clients who were very satisfied with our service and stuff.
And the reason I ask if that's your primary source of income, because I was wondering if you and Fred plan on implementing different monetization strategies through WPShout.com, or if you're going to kind of leave it as is and just focus more on the content and readership and bringing people in that way, or if you guys plan on finding a way to make money with it.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, that's a conversation we're still having on an ongoing basis. But I think the very short answer is it's definitely our primary goal is to provide a great resource with you know, great tips like the simple, like a theme thing like that, like Fred's post that's obvious in retrospect that really does help someone out who hadn't realized that, oh yeah, I can just, you know, put it in quotes and Google will look for that exact text rather than trying to like make me understand and stuff. And so providing that resource, we think there may be things that make sense to provide alongside that or ways in which we can monetize it. But the priority for us is to really keep WP Shout as a great resource within the WordPress community.
Sounds good. If I could bring Alex back on here. Alex, what do you... It sounds to me like you got a winner here in finding two individuals that are going to take care of the... how can I say this? I was going to say baby, that might offend people, but this plant that you've nurtured called WP Shout, you've watered it and took care of it and fed it for 4 years, has turned out to be a great resource in the WordPress community, and it's not, I know from experience, it's not the easiest thing in the world to work on something that hard and to just give it away even though you're selling it, but equally as important is the people you're selling it to, and I think it sounds to me like you got two winners on your hands that are going to continue on the legacy of making WP Shout a good resource in the WordPress community.
Yeah, so obviously it wasn't an easy decision to kind of let go of the site or something I took lightly, and finding the right person was obviously a large part of that process. And I've been extremely fortunate that Fred and David share the same, I guess, philosophy of make awesome website. As I said in the post we did when we were transitioning, it's, I don't know quite how to put it. It's great that they're gonna, you know, continue the legacy, I guess.
You don't have to worry about what happened to WP Designer, where they're just gonna do nothing and throw up a bunch of affiliate links, and that's that. you don't have to worry about that with Fred and David.
Exactly. They have clear revenue model is with their consultancy. There's no, like, it's not gonna turn into a giant affiliate hosting platform, I guess. Because as you said, it's kind of, I have a lot of personal connection with both the brand and the website, so it's as much in my interest as it is in theirs that the site continues to be awesome.
Well, Alex, congratulations on finding two great people to take over your website. I had a great time talking with you. This is the first time I've had a chance to speak with you, and all the best with your future endeavors, with your trip to university. Try not to party too much. I know that that's probably going to be hard. But before I let you go, I wanted you to make the announcement. You didn't get a chance. We were talking about off-air about this, but you didn't get a chance to go to WordCamp Europe. But you do have a second chance in that there's a WordCamp London right around the corner, which you said you were going to be speaking at. Is that correct?
Yes. It will be both my first time speaking and my first WordCamp. Yeah, speaking at WordCamp London in November the 23rd, which is just under a month away. I'm going to talk about content marketing for real people, is what my talk is entitled. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great. And if you're coming, then if you're listening to this and also coming to WordCamp London, then you basically have no excuse not to come to my talk. And I look forward to seeing you there.
Well, congratulations, Alex, and all the best of luck to you. And
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully
you get people tweeting in the background during your presentation. Man, this guy's awesome. You know, we'll have to we'll have to find out when that happens when we look at WordCamp London, the armchair site. Maybe we can get David Bissett to create one for us. And Fred and David, I want to thank you two individuals. I believe you guys are in Boston right now, and there's actually a WordCamp happening this weekend. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speaking on Sunday here at WordCamp Boston about the theme creep topic and, you know, what you can do about it and how you can prevent it. And I mean, so far we went to a workshop today. There are workshops going on today, and we got to see someone has brought a templating engine called Twig into WordPress, and it's a very cool little feature to make creating themes and the logic behind them a lot simpler. So I think that, you know, it's going to be a great opportunity to learn some new things and meet some cool people, and I'm really looking forward to the weekend.
You know, David, on that topic, before I let you guys go, I just published something on WBTavern.com about an experiment that a trio of WordPress developers called Three Themes is going to try and do, where they're going to try and make a WordPress theme built for developers that is not bloated, doesn't have a bunch of features in it, and they're going to try and see if it can be successful in the commercial WordPress theme market space. Just kind of give me your quick opinion. Is that possible, or do you need a theme in order to be successful? Do you need a theme with a million features and 3,000 sliders?
Well, I think one of the real things that, you know, I want to talk about in the presentation is there are actually some great tools around WordPress for I want to include this plugin in my theme. And what people have been doing for the last 5 years when they want to get a plugin's features into their theme is they've just dropped the plugin's code into their theme more or less. And that creates this weird interconnection between the two so that you can't turn off the theme without losing the feature. So what really I think the future is, and I don't know about these three theme guys in depth, but what I'm hoping they're doing is like you can create a way to say, I need this plugin when your theme gets turned on, and then when the user goes and adds that plugin, it's there. But right. If it's WooCommerce or it's another common plugin that exists out in the marketplace already, the user is then not locked into your e-commerce features in your theme, but just to using WooCommerce, which is used widely within the marketplace. And I think, you know, Justin Tadlock has talked about this as well. And
yeah, I was just gonna mention his name, and he's you and him are right on the same mindset there.
Yeah, no, I think Justin does some great work, and I really look up to him, and I think he's a great he's a force for good in the WordPress community at large, and I'm really excited that, you know, we're on the same page, because I think it's just the best for the end user that you are not being tied up into someone else's agenda and someone else's way of building a thing, that you're instead keeping yourself flexible and being able to move forward as you change your site around so you aren't coupled to that theme.
Yeah, I'm glad Justin's on our side.
David, he could do some powerful evil, I'm sure.
I bet. David and Fred, I hope you guys have a great time in Boston. I had some of the best New England clam chowder I've ever had during an event down at Legal Seafood, which we were talking about off air. I hope you guys have all the success in continuing the legacy that is WPShout.com. I hope you guys make Alex proud. And all the best to you guys. Thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your plans for the future of the site.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. But before I go, I want to let everyone know that next week on November 1st, our special guest will be Corey Miller of iThemes.com. And what I plan on doing on that show is we'll take a trip to the past to discuss how he's ended up in the position of leading one of the best commercial theme companies in the WordPress ecosystem. I'm very, very much looking forward to that episode. So you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. Speaking of show notes, I received an email the other day from somebody that was specifically looking for the show notes for episode 124. And all of the show notes are published on WPTavern.com, but now that we're sort of in this overdrive gear on the site where we're publishing anywhere between 3 to 5 news stories a day, I understand that the show notes can go off the front page. They're hard to find if you're listening to the show a few days after the fact. So I'm not sure how we're going to handle that situation. I might experiment with sticky posts, or better yet, in the new redesign of WPTavern.com, we'll actually have 3 different areas to have featured content, which would really help, because I could just stick the show notes post in one of those featured content areas and we wouldn't have to worry about it. But until now, I'm going to try and work out a way to make it easier to find the show notes after the fact, but they're definitely all published on the site. So just do a search term for WordPress Weekly episode whatever in the search box, and it should show up within the top first 5 or 10 results. So that's going to do it for this episode. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, which is JeffrO, or you can follow Sarah on Twitter at Polly Plummer. That's PollyPlummer. And until next week, have a great and safe weekend, everybody.